What's up, everybody? Welcome to Café LeBlanc podcast number 15. This is also Racing's first podcast here, kind of like a solo adventure here. So thank you so much for getting us this. This is also one of my really very few not persona or like Atlas podcasts. So thank you so much for everybody that tuning in today. So Racing.
Yeah, what's up? I guess this is my first podcast, though. We'll have, I guess, the kind of two intros there. But yeah, all things Square Enix, right? We've talked a couple times about like Square with either Kingdom Hearts, Final Fantasy, stuff like that. But now we're taking the deep dive into all things Square. You know, yeah.
Square Enix has been an interesting company. I mean, obviously, like people that know you and people that know may not know, but I'm a huge Square Enix fan. Like from Final Fantasy to Kingdom Hearts, to we were just talking about Tomb Raider. Like I like a lot of the properties from them. So like, I have a lot of thoughts about it. And not all of them are bad. To me, I feel like it's more like tough love. Like, there's a lot of stuff that, like,
right.
I say it with love. I don't necessarily mean it, like, in a bad, mean-spirited way. I know when I talk, some people are like, oh, he's shit-talking. I'm like, no, like, I mean it in a good way. I'm like, I'm not necessarily being mean or anything about it, but I have a lot to say. So it's definitely going to be a good podcast today.
Yeah, well, like, I feel like whenever Square Enix does it right, they do it so right sometimes, right? They make gems. Either they make a gem or they make complete crap. It's like, oh, yeah, it's either or with them sometimes.
It's though. A really hit or miss. And we can even start with a lot of couple examples here. Or if you even want to talk from the beginning, like, what was your first Square Enix game?
The first one I ever did, because, like, I wish I would have grown up playing Kingdom Hearts, but I was kind of my early teens. That's where I started, and I just played their whole library after that. But, like, Kingdom Hearts 1, That's where I started, and that was, like, the first game to, like, make me cry. You know what I mean? Like, that Kingdom Hearts 1, the whole way through, and you make it to the end, and it has a good, like, even after you beat the game, it has good ending material.
Yeah,
it took definitely. A while for us to even get the final mixes, like, in the West, but, like, I consider that to be like almost a 10 out of 10 game from Square. Like Kingdom Hearts 1, such a gem, dude.
Yeah. Let's see. For me, I think the first Final Fantasy game, I don't think it was 7. I think it was the very first Final Fantasy. My uncle gave me a NES, and he had a copy of the first Final Fantasy game on that. And I played that, but I didn't get very far. I didn't understand RPGs. I didn't understand, like, any of that stuff. Yooka-Laylee, that was actually my first time, like, playing an RPG or anything. So, like, I didn't know what was going on or anything like that. I didn't know English either. So, at the time, I was super lost and everything. But years later, I got my mom to buy us a PlayStation 1. The PlayStation 2 had already come out, and she refused for a long time. And I was like, okay, look, the PlayStation 2 is out. The PlayStation 1 is not super cheap. Can you buy us one? And she bought us with a bunch of games. So one of the games was Final Fantasy VII. So I played that, and I played that a lot. I played that, and then I was like, I want to play more RPGs. You know, that's kind of like my thing at the time. So definitely. I played, you know. Right after that, I got my dad, who was traveling and everything, he got us a PlayStation 2. So I was like, yes, now I can play new games. You know, at the time, I ended up playing Final Fantasy X. That was like the first kind of game that I finished like completely, you know, from beginning to end and everything. And that game just made me cry. Like, you know how we're talking about, like, yeah, that game had so many emotions for me, like from the characters and everything like that. It was different too for me because Final Fantasy X, I think, was the first Final Fantasy game to be voice acted, right?
It might have been.
And
because they do such a good job with the characters. I think that's why it gets you so hard in the Final Fantasy and, like, the Kingdom Hearts games.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And at the time, I was, like, crying so hard. I was, like, the ending is just, like, oh, man, this is such a rough game for me. And I was, like, I don't know how it was, like, 10, 11, something like that at the time. And I was just so sad about it. And I love it. Like, I was, like, that was the moment where I really kind of like became like a Final Fantasy fan. And then I went back and like I played pretty much from 7 up until 15. I played pretty much every single Final Fantasy at that point. And Tactics, I played that too. And
I haven't played some of the spin-off like Final Fantasy games yet.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah,
I tried to dig out some of the more obscure spin-offs and everything, but a lot of them is just so hard to find them. They don't really reprint a lot of them either. Like, I'll be interested if they made more of those. Like Tactics, for example, was like a Nintendo Game Boy, well, Advance, I think. And then they remade it again for the PS Vita or PSP, something like that. That's where I played on the PSP. That was an interesting for me.
Yeah, mine was all console based. Like it was Kingdom Hearts 1 on the PS2. That was my first time playing like a Square Enix game, but the copy I actually bought, I'm not sure, but it was Kingdom Hearts 1. It might have been before Enix was absorbed by Square. I think it was just Squaresoft on it, which is kind of interesting.
Oh, yeah, the first Final Fantasy, the first Kingdom Hearts, you're right, yeah. It does have the, I think the one that I have, whatever it is, has the Squaresoft logo on it. Yeah, you're right.
From what I heard, those are kind of rare, actually, because the greatest hits, the like reprints of Kingdom Hearts 1, I think they have the Square Enix on that. That's when they merged. Because I know Kingdom Hearts 2 Onward is the merge or whatever with the actual Square Enix brand. But yeah, it was all console for me. Like PS2, I think, was like a golden era. And I especially think like JRPGs also exploded on the PS2 as well. Because they're open world. And, like the PS2 just had like so much power in it at the time. It doesn't seem like a lot now. But
A lot of people think that. But you know, like if you think about it, I think of Final Fantasy 10 and 12 for that. Like, if you look at the pre-rendered cutscenes, they almost look like PlayStation 3 games at times.
Right.
I was really blown away. I remember playing Final Fantasy 12 for the first time, and I was like, oh my god, this is a PlayStation 2 game? Like, it looks so realistic. You know, at the time, it looked like super realistic and like CD and everything, and I was blown away. That was one of the biggest thing for me. I was like, I was just so taken back, as far as like how much they did, because I remember playing Final Fantasy VII and you know like the blocky kind of like characters and everything like that, and I think that was like the first time where you can kind of experience those games. On the other hand, Kingdom Hearts had like that anime aesthetic, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah, it looked more anime than like the Final Fantasy games, which by the way, like it's funny for me now that you're talking about Kingdom Hearts, because for me, I remember seeing it, but I didn't play them until much later. I was like 15.
That's
kind of
what it was like with me.
I was like 15 when I played the first Kingdom Hearts, and I remember that because Kingdom Hearts 2 was already out, and I was like, I kind of need to get caught up with these games. So I really want to play them, and I played the first one, and I remember being like, I really need to play the second one right now, which, by the way, is a huge mistake, too. Because you're not supposed to play the first one and then the second one. You're supposed to play Chain of Memories too, in between that. And I was so lost for like the first like 6 hours of the game. I was like, "What the fuck is this game? Where's Sora? What's going on? Where's his characters?" Like,
it's so I like Roxas a lot too.
Oh yeah, I do too. I did too. Yeah.
H2, and I was like, "Who's this guy?"
Yeah,
I assumed them play like 2 days and watch the movie. I'm like, it was like Roxas is the best character.
Yeah, honestly, I really love Roxas. And whenever they did the Birds by Sleep? No, which one is it? Yeah, Birds by Sleep with Ventus, Terra, and Aqua. Is that it? Yeah. That one was like, it became my favorite game on the PSP. I loved that game so much. And then like seeing like different characters and everything like that, I was cool too. But at the time when I was playing Kingdom Hearts 2, it was like, to me, Kingdom Hearts 2 was like peak Kingdom Hearts. Like, that was like the best Kingdom Hearts game they ever made. And like, I'm sure we're going to get in detail about like your history with the third game and everything.
Oh god, Kingdom Hearts 3, dude, here's how I see it. Like, Kingdom Hearts 1, good origin, good start to the story, you learn a lot about the characters, but Kingdom Hearts 2 has like the perfect blend of like, gameplay mechanics, after game stuff. That one feels just fun to play, but like Birth by Sleep, I think that one's so good because like you have the three characters, you see separate stories, and once you beat all three characters to that game, you get to see like a full story. So I think story-wise, Birth by Sleep's like,
oh, definitely. I agree with you. I think that not only that, but the three separate characters that are super different from each other. Like, they play really different. Like, even though they're all like key wielders, they are like completely different from each other, and kind of like getting to know they're like they're part of the story and everything like that. I that's one of the things that I always wanted from the main storyline Kingdom Hearts. Like yeah. I wanted a game where I could play as Kairi and as Riku, and that never really happened until like I don't even want to talk about that game. What was it 3DS game?
It happens in Kingdom Hearts 3, I guess, kind of, or whatever.
But you don't really like get to play as him. Like you don't get that good. You know, between you know what I'm talking about.
Like a full story as the other character.
Yeah, exactly. Really and I always wanted that. But one of the biggest things that kind of shocked me was how they completely abandoned Final Fantasy from the Kingdom Hearts storyline.
Yeah, in KH3 especially. There's nothing, I don't think, at all.
Yeah, there's none at all. Like, I played through the game recently again because I was like, I wanted to get that refreshing and kind of like, oh, you know, I wanna get ready once we get more stuff, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it's what it was playing Kingdom Hearts 3, and I'm like, this final boss is going to be bad, but like, it's not going to be as bad as a Sephiroth boss, right? And it's like, no Sephiroth boss. I'm like, there's no Sephiroth boss? Like, that's been a staple. Like, yeah, how are they going to get rid of that?
Yeah, that's like one of the things that kind of made me almost like disappointed in a sense. I was like, I really, because to me, like, the Final Fantasy characters are kind of like almost like, even though they're not super important to a story or anything, just kind of like seeing them and interact with the right. Disney characters and everything is always kind of like, that's the shtick of Kingdom Hearts, right? That's the whole like the West and the East, you know, like the Final Fantasy characters and the Disney characters kind of interacting with each other and everything. That's always the whole point of the game and everything. So not seeing them, just like, it's almost like baffling. Like, I was like, I don't know what happened. Like, and I really want to know like the background story for that. I have my own theories, right, which we can probably talk about, but
I do as well. I mean, do we want to jump into KH3? Because I mean, I guess for the most part, I guess just go over KH1 and 2, right?
Yeah,
like I've said, like Kingdom Hearts 1, I guess, was my start to just Square in general.
Yeah.
And I think Kingdom Hearts 1 and Kingdom Hearts 2, even if you don't play, like, Chain of Memories, you probably should, because I think that one's underrated.
Of course, yeah.
I guess, like, re-Chain of Memories,
like,
right?
Underrated, except for, like, the gameplay. The gameplay is probably one of the worst gameplay with the cards and everything.
I kind of like it,
really. Do you really? That's, like, the...
Yeah.
Like, I remember playing it, like, much later. And I was like, what the fuck is this? Where is it?
It's definitely weird.
It takes time, especially when you play the Game Boy version, because that's the one I played. I played the Game Boy version.
Oh, no.
I didn't play the original PlayStation 2 one, so I went back like years later, but it was hard. It was hard for me to kind of like go back into the... Which, by the way, I will commend them. Making a Kingdom Hearts game on the Game Boy is like gold. Like, I don't know. It's just like the whole idea of like cramming a whole big game into like this little handheld thing.
It's kind of funny. They pulled kind of an Atlas where they're like, yeah, we have ties with Sony, but you know, we're gonna do a couple of Nintendo things while we're at it, though. You know what I mean? It's actually weird because like Chain of Memories, it was a handheld game, and then Re-Chain of Memories is the console game. They actually went handheld then to console. It's so weird and backwards.
It's weird. Sony must have been like, nah, you need to get that over here.
Yeah, come on now. You ain't missing the story yet. Right, it's already messed up. You know, it's messed up enough and confusing. You got to bring that over. But, like, Kingdom Hearts 1, Chain of Memories 2, honestly, I think all of it's perfect. Even up to Birth by Sleep, I love all of that. Mm-hmm. And I think Kingdom Hearts 2 has some of the best in-game material. Like, the whole... You have the whole cavern, remember, and so I'm not sure if you remember that part, but it's like the giant cavern underneath, I think, Hollow Bastion, and it's basically just to keep you all the way there. And
it's so good. All that part is it's such a good dungeon,
The music, too, it's such a bop in there. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and then
you
fight all the
for
data
sure.
versions,
mm-hmm.
all 13 Sora.
Mm-hmm.
It feels so good. And I don't see a lot of games doing that nowadays with like in-game content. Like, there's so much in-game content at the end of Kingdom Hearts 2 Final Mix, I guess.
Oh, yeah, but. They definitely... That's one of the things that I always liked about Kingdom Hearts. Like, unlike Final Fantasy games or all these other games, Kingdom Hearts, like, you finish the game, but there's, like, all this other stuff you can do. You can visit the other worlds again. You know, you can all this stuff.
Yeah.
Even the gummy ship, which I've never been a fan of the system or anything like that. But it's still creative that you can just like go and build your own ship and do those missions and do all that kind of stuff. Like, I remember I had a friend that was obsessed with that. He had like the best ship in the game. Like, he like spent hours just building his gummy ship and like going around collecting pieces and everything. I'm like, that's dedication, brother. I can give up to him.
I couldn't do that, man.
Yeah.
I always, anytime it was a gummy mission, I'm just like, how long can I just hold down the button and spam triangle to do like the special moves till this is over?
Right. Yeah. I always hated having to do them to like unlock the next world. Kind of like, oh man, I just hate it so much. I wish that it was kind of like a side content kind of thing. But at the same time, I was like, that's fine, you know, it's not, it doesn't bother me. I never got stuck on one of them that I wasn't, like, able to do or anything like that. Nah. But it was just kind of just there.
So what would you say, like, there's a ton of worlds in Kingdom Hearts 1 and Kingdom Hearts 2, but, like, if you had to pick your favorite world, like, which
one do you think it'd be? My favorite world ever is the Nightmare Before Christmas one.
It's so good. It's in both so Kingdom Hearts.
In both games, exactly, yeah. Although, I also like the Pirates of the Caribbean, too. I don't even like the Pirates of the Caribbean, but I like the world that they built and everything. It looks pretty cool. For a PlayStation 2 game, it looks realistic. It's, you know, like, it looks really detailed and everything. So
I've seen some stuff, like, those look better than certain games I've seen nowadays.
Right, exactly. Like, I was just really impressed. So I'll definitely I just mentioned that. It just blew my mind. What's that, Halloween Town? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Halloween. Yeah, the Nightmare Before Christmas, Halloween Town. Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah, that was.
And getting the pumpkin keyblade. Oh, that just looks so badass. Yeah.
You know, one thing that I will say that I wanted always, well, two things. One, I wanted to travel to some Final Fantasy worlds. Like, could you imagine going to like the Final Fantasy VII world or like Final Fantasy?
Well, have you heard talks like what Kingdom Hearts might be? Because I think they're done with Disney assets now. I think Kingdom Hearts is. But apparently, there were talks of like Verum Rex, which is like the ending of KH3. You gotta jump deep to like even know about it, like really. But there's speculation that maybe the next Kingdom Hearts stuff is gonna be jumping around Final Fantasy things, because there was no Final Fantasy in like KH3. So apparently there might be talks of like them trying to do something like that.
I don't know. It'll be interesting if they actually end up doing something like that. I will be open to some of this stuff. I don't know. It just really depends on how they do it. But I feel like a good, healthy mix of like Disney and Kingdom Hearts and Final Fantasy is like is good. Because like to me, and we can probably jump into Kingdom Hearts 3, but that was almost kind of the one thing that I didn't like about the game. It's like the worlds are really well made, but some of them just kind of feel just there because they're Disney worlds. Like, they don't really do anything with the story or anything. True. And that was one of my biggest, like, I'll say criticisms of the game. Like, the Frozen world. You know, this cutscene where they're, like, singing the Frozen song and everything. And I was like, can we fucking go? Like, I really just want to go to the next world.
That kind of brings up who Kingdom Hearts 3 was for, right? It's like, was it for the Disney kids that are watching Frozen or the adults who played KH2 back in the day?
I was like, and this is kind of like what bothered me. I was like, Nomura, you know who is playing your games. It's not a 10-year-old kid that just started playing Kingdom Hearts 3. Sure as hell, he's not playing the final game on this series.
Yeah, no kidding. I think they tried to like pull that audience, I think, a little bit. Which
I think they did. And I'll be interested to know like how many people got into the series with Kingdom Hearts 3. Like, I don't know if anybody wants to comment below and let me know, like, how old are you and did you start with Kingdom Hearts 3? I just want to know.
What's the Kingdom Hearts audience now? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I remember like when Kingdom Hearts 3 was kind of like on the hype and everything. All the people, like, I was talking to, like, people our age group, you know, like, in the 20s that played those games back in the day. So I'm like, I don't know how many kids actually just went and bought this game. I'm like, yeah, Mom, I want Kingdom Hearts 3. I need to play 8 games, but I want to play the 3rd game.
The 8 spinoffs and the 7 handheld. Well, I guess the remixes, you don't need them anymore. But I went to a midnight release, and it was all, like, 30-year-old
people. Exactly. That's me, too. I went to pick up that, and what else? There was another game that came out on the same time as this one.
Resident Evil 2.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because I went to pick up both of them. I actually did a giveaway in my channel for both of them. And, it was cool. Back in the day, I had, like, 100 subscribers, and I was like, So that what I did was this: I played Kingdom Hearts for like 3 hours, and then I played Resident Evil the entire night, beat Resident Evil, and then I continued to play Kingdom Hearts. Yeah, I didn't sleep for like 2 days. I was just like so excited playing the games and everything.
Yeah, I remember rushing through Kingdom Hearts 3 just for the story. And I heard there's actually a bit about why Frozen's kind of bad. Yeah. So apparently the Frozen movie wasn't out yet. And it was written that Elsa was supposed to be the villain throughout Frozen. Like, that's who the boss was going to be in, like, the giant Frozen castle in the Frozen part, Kingdom Hearts 3. But they had to cut it out.
Oh, okay.
She wasn't going to be a villain. And I guess they just...
That makes sense. Sort of I don't know. There's like so many theories that I've seen from a lot of people. For example, like if you want to kind of like jump into the Final Fantasy thing, I've seen from other people just for like a minute. You know how they have like Yozora, which is like the Final Fantasy spoof that they have there, which is kind of almost a funny thing. So from what I heard, which I don't know if it's true or not, Nomura originally made the Final Fantasy 13. Versus, which is 15 now.
Oh, yeah.
And 13, and yeah. He wanted to finish that game. But then Square Enix was like, no, you need to make Kingdom Hearts 3 right now because we need to sell that thing.
Yeah.
So the whole reason why he didn't add Final Fantasy into it was because he was pissed that he was being forced to make 3 instead of 13, which is the one that he wanted to make. So he made all these characters kind of like a fuck you to Square Enix from forcing him to do the other game. Which is kind of like, I can see that because if to me, the point where, and I know I'm going to get some heat for this because I always do, but the breaking point for me as far as like a Square Enix fans was both 15 and 3, which is both of the games that Nomura touched. Sure. Like that's like the two games that kind of like, almost like I was like disappointed, or like 13 wasn't super good, but I was like, I was okay with it, you know. I was like, after the second game, I just didn't follow the story, and I was like, I'm fine. I enjoyed the first game, but didn't really enjoy the second one too much. And the third one, I was just like, I'm not even gonna bother with that anymore. But then, like, I was really banking everything on 15. I was like, oh man, I'm like super excited to 15. Been waiting for that game for like 10 years.
And I know, right? Yeah. It's like the same for Kingdom Hearts 3. It's exactly, one thing if, like, they were just bad sequels, but that's like, no, people waited like a decade for both of these games.
Yeah, and I feel like it's almost like, and I get that. For a lot of people, I get it. Like for example, Shin Megami Tensei 5, right? That game hasn't been in development for a long time. It's been in development for like 4 or 5 years, but people have been waiting for that game since,
I don't know. It's been over 5 years.
It's been like seven years since the fourth game came out. So like, if it comes out and it's not good, I get how people will be mad. You know, like, sure, the game didn't take 10 years to make, but I waited 10 years for 15. You know, like you know, like, oh, same thing with Kingdom Hearts 3. I was like, yeah, maybe it didn't take all this time to make the one game, but I personally, like, after playing Kingdom Hearts 2, I really want to play Kingdom Hearts 3. I want to, like, enjoy that experience and everything. I don't know, like, I don't want to say that it was a bad game, because I really enjoyed a lot of the stuff about Kingdom Hearts 3. Like, I enjoyed the gameplay. I thought it was, like, some of the stuff, like the rides. I know some people didn't like the rides, but I thought it was a kick-ass idea, like having them summon and everything.
Yeah, it was different, but, like, I think each Kingdom Hearts game has done something a little different like that. It makes sense to me, I think.
Yeah, exactly. But then, like, the worlds, that's kind of like where it started to lose me story-wise. I was like, really, you know, the game is like, oh, you have to hurry up because the bad guy is coming, and, you know, I'm not doing spoilers or anything, but I'm like, you know, like, you have to do this and everything like that. And you're like, oh my God, you know, we have to train and we have to be good and we have to be ready because we have to fight the darkness or whatever. And then, literally, like, 20 hours of you going from world to world and nothing's happening. And you're like, yo, what are we doing? You know, and then waiting for Kyrie and Riku, and like, nobody's hanging out with Sora. He's just hanging out by himself. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like,
I'm glad you almost said something, because I almost spoiled like a certain thing. There's a certain thing the whole game, there's a certain character I like a lot. I guess I'll say from Birth by Sleep. I won't give anything else other than that. But like, the whole time you're wondering about them, and you think it's going to be something that happens like halfway through the game, but it waits all the way to the end. Like, you have to go through the entire game without getting any conclusion about the other like Kingdom Hearts characters.
That's what
kind of kills me. You're doing all Disney stuff the entire way through, and it's like, oh, you're final at the end, now you get to see all that stuff. But I feel like they should have trinkled it in, because I feel like with Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, and like even Birth by Sleep, it's like a lot of Disney, but it sort of goes back and forth, like the perfect sort of blend the whole time of like Final Fantasy and Kingdom Hearts stuff. But with 3, it was just like ton of Disney stuff, and then at the end, that's when you get your Kingdom Hearts characters and stuff like that.
Which, I get it. I feel like what they should have done is this. You do a world, and then you get story, like actual story. Not like, no, Sora, you can't do anything. You have to wait. And then like, okay, all right. And then like, you go to the other world, and like, no, Sora, you have to find your ability or whatever. Go back and practice. You're like, okay, well, okay. And
even like the cutscenes it gives you, it's like, oh, you want more story? Here's Mickey and Riku getting a new pair of clothes, and then it goes to the next Disney World. It's like, that's all we get.
Yeah, you like you get this cutscenes and everything, and then like you get all these little cutscenes with Kairi, but you don't even see like her practice. She's just practicing or whatever, because she's training, right? That's the whole thing about her. She's training, and you don't really see all that kind of stuff. And I was kind of like annoyed whenever they announced this other Kingdom Hearts game, like the music one, so you can get
Melody
of Memory. I skipped that because I was like, I don't really want to pay another $60 so I can see them dancing so I can find out the story about Kairi.
I'm too pissed at Square right now to buy another game. And there's the DLC for Kingdom Hearts 3 as well, which is like, I really had a hard time even just understanding the ending of Kingdom Hearts 3. I know we're trying to like get spoilery, but like, I still hardly get it even.
Oh no, I totally get where you're coming from there. To me, it was more like, I'm so mad at Square Enix because for what they've done that I just don't really want to touch it anymore. I was kind of like, you know, like, I wasn't necessarily mad at the ending. I was just mad about like, oh, you know, this is the beginning of a new storyline, you know? And then you're kind of like, not spoilers, but I'm pretty sure it's common knowledge at this point. Kingdom Hearts 3 doesn't end the storyline. And just kind of like find, because to us, and I don't know how you feel about this, but to me and a lot of people, Kingdom Hearts 3 for the longest time was teased as the final chapter. Like, literally, like, that's one of the things that they talked about the whole time. So, going all the way through the thing and kind of like finding out that it is not the final chapter, and that this game is so heavily tied up to a mobile game, it really pissed me off. Because, and again,
the box, what's in the box?
Yeah, that whole thing, I'm like, spoilers, but the whole thing is like, it's so heavily tied up to that mobile game that kind of pissed me off. I'm like, I'm not picking up the mobile game, Square Enix. I'm not going to buy it.
I'm going to YouTube to look it all up.
Yeah, exactly. I have no idea what that's about. Exactly. I'm not doing that. It just really pissed me off. That's when he kind of like, well, fuck you about God. That. And
what sucks is like, we're going to jump into it more, but there's even more mobile games now for like Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Oh, man. And the whole crazy thing is, and I don't know, I want to kind of finish one franchise before we jump into another one.
Yeah, but, I know. But like, I still there's more to come.
They did a Nomura interview and everything, and he was like, oh, yeah, we're doing all this stuff. And then next year, he announced that there's already more stuff coming too. Like, that's not everything that we've seen. He was like, oh, 2022, there's going to be a bunch of more Final Fantasy stuff. And I'm like, can you focus and get the second part of Final Fantasy VII, please?
And it's similar to Atlas, because we do a lot of Persona stuff, too. It's like the transparency with, like, the audience is so weird. Like, they don't they don't try at all, or their excuse is just like, well, there's going to be more later, so just wait. It's like, okay, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I just kind of feel like at this point I was like, I mean, I don't really know how much I can, like, hold down to and everything like that. Because to me, like, and I told some people like this, like, to me, the only value that I see on Final Fantasy VII, the remake, is the fact that they attempted to kind of like change the story a little bit, you know, like, oh, this is a new story, this is continue, you know, this is like almost like a sequel, if you will, or whatever. And to me, that was the value of it. But the fact that they are not continuing this anytime soon, kind of at the same time, I'm like, how much are you wanting me to hold on to? You know, like, I don't know how long am I going to wait for this. The same thing with Kingdom Hearts. Like, they've been radio silence. They made a dancing spin-off game. Like, I don't know.
The hair is good. And like, Kingdom Hearts has the music for it. But
Sure. And I'm not saying it's bad because I haven't played it. I can't give you an opinion about it. But I feel like I'm just annoyed about it. You know, like, I'm kind of like, I just want to see what's happening next. I don't know.
Yeah, they definitely should, like, I don't know. I've seen certain companies do this where they have, like, a roadmap that kind of shows everything. Or it says if there's anything just even in progress, which would be kind of cool. But, yeah, I guess we should just sort of wrap up our feelings here on Kingdom Hearts. Then we can jump full Final Fantasy. But, like, I don't know. If you had to rank at least just the couple of top ones, like, I would put, like, I think Kingdom Hearts 2 has to be number one for me, right? Mm-hmm. It has a perfect blend of everything. Story's a little whatever, because you have to play Chain of Memories and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Then, like, Birth by Sleep's, like, an easy second, I think, because of the story and everything else. Like, it's a beautiful game, too. Then it has Aqua in it, which Aqua's always been my favorite character, too. Dude, Aqua's so good, man.
Yeah. I was so happy when you get to play as her in Kingdom Hearts 3 for a little bit.
Yeah. That was also like the Fragmentary Passage. Did you play that?
The 2.8? Was that it?
Yeah, 2.8. It's Final Fantasy. It's like Birth by Sleep 0.2 because you add 0.2 to 2. It's so dumb, but that was so fun.
That was dumb, but that was cool. I like that. I like that. That was a nice kind of add on everything. I guess I'm going to agree with you. Like, Kingdom Hearts 2, then Birth by Sleep, and then I'll say Kingdom Hearts 1 after that.
Yeah, that's kind of
like, I'll do like my top three, I guess.
Yeah, for the most part, I think I have to go there with that. And like, I think most of the community understands the issues with KH3 and stuff like that. It isn't what we expected. And I think that a lot of that has to do with like even with like SMT5, and I said a little bit about this, but like Cyberpunk, it's like once a game gets thrown in the media a lot, even if it's bad media, because it's being pressed back, people's expectations become higher and higher and higher the longer you have to wait for a game.
Of course,
it almost feels like nothing will be enough.
Nothing. I agree with that. To me, it's the same thing, for example, with The Last of Us Part 2. And I'm not really going to get into like the whole debacle about it or anything, but I like the first game. I was like excited for the second game, and it was really hyped for a lot of people. And I feel like I don't necessarily think a lot of people hated the game, but I think the disappointment was also coming from kind of like their expectations as well as they were wanting to. Because to me, like, The Last of Us wasn't the game of the year. The second game wasn't really like a game of the year game. It was a good game. I enjoyed the game, but I wasn't like, oh man, this is the best game I ever played. Because I just mentioned it because it's been nominated for so many awards, and I'm like,
I didn't get that either.
I don't really see that. Like, I don't know. I played a lot of good games that year, and I didn't really feel like the game really had like the hundreds of awards that is won. And like, I don't really see it. I don't know. Maybe just the game just maybe wasn't made for me or something. But which is funny because I loved the first game. It was my game of the year when it came out. But this game just kind of like, I was like, I don't know, maybe just expectations, like you said, maybe just kind of like, imagine, and we want to talk about expectations with Final Fantasy.
Yeah, true. I also had that with Borderlands 3, because like, Borderlands 2 is like another masterpiece.
Oh, dude, for real, yeah, Borderlands 2 is like peak, what is that, Game Gear, is that what it is?
Gearbox.
Gearbox, yeah. It's still like peak Gearbox right there, and then everything they made after that isn't like, I hate it. That Borderlands spin-off, the game that they did, what is it called? The one?
Pre-sequel, you mean that one?
Yeah, I didn't like that one. And then they
I
did
actually love it.
You love it? Yeah. No.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, it's like a Telltale game.
Oh, you know, that was from the people. Yeah, the Telltale people. Tales from the Borderlands.
Yeah.
I guess that wasn't necessarily Gearbox.
But yeah, it was like a spin-off game that they did or whatever. I hated that game. It was as boring as hell. And then the third game wasn't bad. It's
a similar situation. Yeah. It's like, it's not bad, but it didn't hit like the same level.
And then they did this other game, the PlayStation 5, and that game just flopped. It was like a massive flop.
Did you know they made like an Overwatch clone like 2 or 3 weeks before Overwatch launched? They had a game
Overwatch. I played it too. It was what is it called?
I completely forget. It's so forgettable. Overwatch came out, and that's why I did my whole
story. I was on a banked on this game because of Overwatch. I'm sorry, because of the other games. I banked on them. I literally bought the game. I played it with my friend. And we saw it flop. I was like, we thought that it wasn't going to beat Overwatch. We were like, no, you know, this game is better. Because it had some pretty cool mechanics. I actually
enjoyed it. I do remember liking it, too. Yeah. I thought it had fun multiplayer objectives. It had objectives in that game that, like, I don't think a lot of games do nowadays.
Yeah. And I really actually liked, like, if you want to kind of like talk a little bit about it, I like, it had a lot of melee characters. It had, like, a lot of different kind of characters, like a good mix. Because Overwatch has, like, 3 melee people and everybody else is a shooter, but that game had like a good healthy mix between like more melee characters and more like shooters and everything like that. But yeah, I mean, I don't know, everything after Overwatch kind of like it started a whole genre that didn't get anywhere. Like I don't know, it's kind of like an oddball look. Like it only worked because it was Overwatch. I don't think it worked as a whole, as a genre.
It's because it had Blizzard behind it. Yeah, I think that's why the whole PC community jumped on it. But although Borderlands has a lot of PC people, but I just think Blizzard just pushed it so hard. But either way, let's. I guess that's our nail in the coffin.
That's kind of like a Kingdom Hearts. Moving out to Final Fantasy. So I guess we can start with your favorite Final Fantasy games, and then we'll just go from there.
So I'm not, I have like the deluxe editions of all the Kingdom Hearts games, so I've played all of those to death, but Final Fantasy is something that I've only been playing for like 4 or 5-ish years, so I'm not as huge into that. I've played the remake, obviously. I'm like halfway through 10, I've played a little bit of 8 and 9 because people wanted me to do that. I've beaten 15, and I kind of love 15, like we've talked about, 15 all the way up to pretty much the ending is kind of... It's kind of goofy or whatever, but that's pretty much my experience. I've beaten the remake, I've beaten 15, I've done some of the DLC, although 15 has so many like episodes and things behind it, but
yeah,
that's sort of my experience with it. But I really loved the remake, but then again, that's coming from the perspective of a person who's I've never beat the original. I plan to beat it, I plan to stream it soon to kind of compare. Because I know a lot of people have been saying, like, if you love the remake, you'll love the original. Like, the original's so much better. That's the only comment, like, I ever see on posts about FF7 remake is, like, remake's original's better. It's like,
I think it really just depends from like, perspective. For example, for me, the problem is you cannot remove your memories from the previous game. You know, like, it's impossible for me to kind of be, like, because to me, Final Fantasy is a remake. The new stuff feels so tacked on that it's really noticeable that it's there. You know, like it's, and maybe it's for somebody like you that hasn't played 7, the original one, maybe it looks more natural. It kind of feels like a progression of the story. To me, it just was really jarring, like how obvious the new stuff was. Like there's some parts where it was just kind of like annoying me. And I don't mean it because I really actually liked 7 for a lot of stuff. I love the new gameplay aspects that they did. I thought a lot of the new storylines, like the little stories that they did and everything kind of work. But at the same time, the slums is like a 15-minute segment. And
really?
And in this game, it's like a whole, like, you go from this area of the slums to this area of the slums, and there's like this whole storyline with the three friends. I forgot their name. The chubby dude and the dude with the bandana.
Oh, Jesse.
Yeah, Jesse Briggs and the two dudes. Yeah. When they go to Jesse's house and they go eat pizza and all kinds of stuff like that, that's new. That's not in the original one.
I really like that part.
Yeah, and I thought it was nice. I thought it was nice because it gives them character. You know, like, on the original game, they die. So it doesn't matter.
Well, they kind of allude to that in the remake, I guess.
Yeah, but that's where it comes from. Like, the whole thing about the remake is you're changing the past. All your actions, when the ghosts show up or whatever, you're changing things from the original games, and the ghosts are supposed to be there to stop you from changing in the future.
Oh, I did not know.
Oh, that. Did I that's just explain it to you?
Oh my god, that's blowing my brain right now. Wait, yeah. Because
yeah, every time that you see the ghost, right? Everything that you see the ghost is something that is not in the original game that is being changed at the moment.
I never put that together because I haven't played the original. Oh, okay. Now if I play the original, I'm going to see that. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So for example,
I really like that.
For example, there is a spot where the guy with the bandana, which I forgot his name again, Wedge, I think it's his name, or maybe.
I think Briggs and Wedge are the two names. There are two names.
I don't know which one's which one. Yeah, I don't know. But he is about to die, and you rescue him. But would you rescue him from the ghost? And it's because you're literally fighting against time to kind of like saving him. He's supposed to die in that particular point, but he doesn't.
I wonder if the conclusion probably to the story is going to be different, right?
Oh, definitely, 100%. Yeah. You're already changed enough of time to trigger like a different timeline kind of thing. But it's just to me at this point, I'm kind of thinking, how many timelines are we doing? Because you already see at least three separate timelines going on at this point. You have the original Final Fantasy VII timeline, you have the new remake timeline, and you have this timeline where Zack is alive, and he's not supposed to be in the other timeline. So I think it's like a different timeline, because you have another Cloud with Zack.
Yeah, true. I guess we should spoiler warning for that, because that game is a lot newer than I guess.
Oh shit! I'm sorry. I just literally went full spoilers.
It's just all good. Well, people should just probably know that, I guess, a little bit, because this is a deep dive into all of it. But
yeah. Anyway, I just kind of like broke down this, because I was like, to me, that was the exciting part. That was kind of like stuff like, okay, well, I want to see where you take that from. But then like Nomura is Nomura, and he likes to add complicated stuff to it. Like he overcomplicates storylines for no reason sometimes.
That's so true.
And I'm kind of like, where are you taking this? And I just want to know. And I really like, and it's not that I hated 7, because a lot of people are like, just because I was disappointed in some aspects doesn't mean I hated the game. Like, I really liked it. I just got excited about all this. But I almost felt like, I'm like, I just want to see where you take this storyline, but you're not doing it. You're doing this mobile game and this other mobile game. Because all of this is being worked out by Nomura. Nomura is directing all of these little projects and everything. So the second part is going to be a while. Here's the kicker, though. This is why I explain all this to you. The first part of the game that we played is one of the three CDs. It's roughly about 15 hours of the full storyline.
So what's the full... If you play Final Fantasy VII on PS2, or no, PS1, right?
Mm-hmm.
How long is that?
About 40 hours long.
That's about 40 hours.
Yeah, so if you already played 15... Weird. It's only 15 hours... Of so these 40 hours, which became 50, I don't know, 30 hours out of that. And that's why kind of like, that's kind of like my issue with the remake, because a lot of it feels really padded for me as somebody that knows the original storyline. Some aspects just feel like they drag for too long. I'm like, yo, we're still in the slums, and like there's all this stuff. For example, like the DLC with Yuffie and everything. Yeah. That kind of almost, to me, it's kind of like, man, they're going to add more. This DLC shouldn't be DLC, first of all, because it's part of the story. And Yuffie is one of your party members in the game. So, like, where does that leave people with the PlayStation 4? Like, how are they going to play that part? That's part of the storyline.
Yeah, and I made a video about this. Did you know that the PlayStation Plus right now has Final Fantasy VII Remake free? Did you know that PlayStation Plus version of that game, you can't get that to transfer to PS5?
Yeah, I know. that's crazy, man, that is insane to me. That's like almost like a slap in the face, kind of like, hey, you get the game but not really.
You thought you could get that Yuffie DLC? Nope, sorry, you got to actually buy the game. Although I got it for like $20 last year, which is kind of insane.
Sure, and it's not bad. I mean, like, I guess, like, I can't blame them for wanting money. Like, I understand. This is a fucking corporation, you know, like, it's a business. I know a lot of people, like, they give them shit all the time, and I myself give them shit all the time. Like,
Shinra is Square Enix. I think that's what we've concluded.
Yeah, you know. But at the same time, I'm like, I get it. It's a fucking business. You know, they want to get, they have to make money off of these games. You know, it's not like,
yeah,
it's not like they can just like continue to print out games and like nobody's, you know, like, but at the same time, I'm like, how much DLC is okay? You know, like, because to me, like, DLC has like two facets. One is like the Persona shit. You know, they do the music, they do the costumes, they do random, random shit doesn't really matter. You know, it's just extra stuff. But then on the other hand, they do the Square Enix thing, which is kind of like what pisses me off, which is like literally storylines that are supposed to be in the game, they're selling them to you for like $5-$10 a piece. You know, like at the end of the day, like if you wanted to get the full Final Fantasy 15 storyline, how many DLCs are for that? Like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, at least 5 or 6, right?
At least 5 right now. They were going to do even more.
There was supposed to be
Season Pass Part 2 that they're like, the fans were like, no, we're not buying a whole other Season Pass for that.
The whole thing, I don't know if you knew this, but the director left the company. They made him, that screwed him over big time. I want to mention that because it screwed over so bad. So Nomura wrote the game. He made 15. But they went with Lightning, the other 13 storyline.
Yeah.
So they went for that one instead. And Nomura was like, okay, well, I have to do Kingdom Hearts. So then they were like, okay, well, what are we going to do for 15? And this dude worked on other Final Fantasy spin-off stuff, you know, the little stuff. So they let him just work on 15. And at first they outsourced a lot of this stuff to like another company. And they were like, okay, now you make a whole game out of like all these scraps of like Nomura shit, third-party shit. And the dude is like, what the fuck am I going to do? I have like all these little pieces of different games put together. That's what 15 is.
That's what it feels half baked.
That's what 15 is. 15 is literally put a bunch of games, different games put together. In fact, I'm surprised that it runs and plays as well as it does. because you can clearly tell that there was like so much development issues with that game. And it still came out broken, but it was still a fully functional game. Like if you look at it and then compare it to something like Cyberpunk or something like that, like, you know, the game runs. The game still, it might have a shitty ending.
It looks nice too.
It looks great. It's
really good.
In fact, you can tell what the different directors did. Like the first, Nomura did a whole first area that you see, which is like where you're, you know, when you're around in the wild and you're camping out with the friends and everything like that.
That feels very like Nomura.
Yeah, that's like really cohesive. And then you have a movie.
Get the movie, get the anime.
And you have the anime. And then
after
leaving that first town area, that's when they started to kind of like lose me. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck is going on.
It's so random.
You go to the Siri and then you go over there. I mean, no spoilers on 15, but I'll try to keep it non-spoiler free. But there's a certain point where there's a skip. I'm just going to say skip, because I'm not going to explain anything, but you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? And that's what completely lost me. Like, if I was, like, fighting with, like, a cohesive story, moving forward, there's like, it made absolutely no fucking sense.
Is that the point where Nomura is gone? Or did
he was gone at that point.
It's so weird. Like, chapters 1 through, I think, like, 9 or 10. I think it's around 13. I think there's, like, 13 or 14 chapters.
Yeah, the last, like, 4 or 5 chapters make absolutely no sense.
Yeah, the start of those chapters, though, I didn't mind. It was different, but it was enough for me to be like, I could still go with this.
Yeah,
it was a whole horror bit where You have none of your friends, none of your equipment, and you're doing like a whole horror bit, which I'm like, this is an okay change of pace, but everything beyond that, story wise, makes absolutely no sense. You're flying through crystals. There's weird time warps inside. It completely changes the course of what happens. Not to mention, I guess, because we were talking about DLC and how chunks of the characters were gone. Like Ignis, Gladios, Prompto all have a separate DLC that you have to have, and you can either have the season pass or buy them all separately, but whole chunks of story are taken out for them, and they randomly leave your party, they randomly jump on, which to me feels like the part where it's like, not only are we getting a weird story with a main character, but the side characters, I feel like that should be stuff that we should definitely be seeing, because I feel like that gives a bigger impact to the end of the story if you know what happens to all the other side characters.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of like, with that's my issue, because at that point, you can clearly tell that this DLC was part of the game, because there's a point where the characters split up. You know, you're by yourself now, and every character is doing like their own thing, and the DLC is literally that particular point where everybody is doing their thing, and I'm like, what's the point of all this? You know, like, that's where kind of this, like, annoyed me, like, really, really disappointed me. Like, it's not even like I'm mad, I'm just disappointed. You know, like,
and I might be wrong about this, but I think, like, literally, like, maybe like a month after, one of the whole DLCs were already out.
Mm-hmm.
So you're 100% correct.
Yeah, the DLC for at least one of the DLCs was out within like a month or two. Like, you can clearly tell that was like, you know, just an extra thing. And you know what? I'm just done. You know, 15 is done. It's not gonna come back. The director is gone. He's really funny because I feel bad for him. They made him a new studio. I don't know if you knew this. They made him a new studio.
No.
And they just appointed him head, and I was like, okay, make a new game.
That's insane.
Dude lasted like a month.
I'll give him, you know, props, because the game's not that bad if you just don't do chapter 13 on. Like, if you just go up to that point and just, like, act like you don't know what's happening. The side quests are actually fun. Having the boys around, they're actually, it's pretty good. They get decent development, too.
Yeah.
But, like I said, they randomly leave at times. It's like, what happened there? They don't even discuss really what happens. I think Ignis comes back and he's, like,
he has a scar or something like that. Who has a scar? He has a scar?
Gladius, I think, has a scar on his face, but, like, Ignis, he can't see. He's completely blind.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Ignis, like, can't see. Gladius has a scar. And there's this whole additional mystery storyline with Prompto, which I like Prompto and his storyline, because it was different. You know, like, I don't want to spoil it, but it was easily one of the best little stories that they did. And then obviously you have the bad guy story, which was also pretty cool.
Yeah, episode Arden. That was the start of season pass 2.
Yeah, which they canceled. Thought. Immediately canceled right after that. They did left, like I said.
There was supposed to be episode Noctis Last, I think.
Yeah.
There was a whole episode of him. Episode Luna Freya as well.
Yeah, Luna Freya and Aranea. What, Arena? What is it? The girl?
I'm not sure.
The girl that joins your party for like one chapter. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, the one with the black hair.
Yeah, she was supposed to have a chapter too, which is funny because she was a fan favorite for a lot of people.
She was so just like, I didn't understand anything about her. We definitely need that episode for her.
Yeah, for sure. But... yeah, she needed more. She needed some. That's kind of like what trips me about this game. When it comes to the main characters, you know, like the whole party of the guys and the one other girl, they have such a good, like, character development. Like, just them hanging out and, like, getting, you know, talking about, like, their stuff. What I loved, like, to me, like, that was, like, the best moments of Final Fantasy. Like, when you go on, like, you get ingredients to cook, he gets a new recipe, and then, like, he makes a new dish, and then, like, you guys eat, and then just chat. And everything, like, this is cool shit. Like, that was, like, peak of the game. Like, that was the part that I really enjoyed about it.
I think they, like, play card games, too.
Oh, yeah,
They feel like going out somewhere. They do different things depending on where you go. Yeah, and, like, spend the night, which is, I think, is so interesting.
Yeah.
I watched, like, a behind-the-scenes thing, and they recorded so many lines, and those guys seem like they're actual friends. Like, they didn't deserve a treatment they got with 15.
I will say that's kind of one of the things where, like, they did a friendship that almost feels like a really good, like, it even feels better than, like, some of the Persona group friendships. Like, this one feels really legit. Like, you really feel, like, the friendship with everybody and everything. This is easily, like, one of the best parts about it.
The dialogue isn't, like, because, like, sometimes with Persona, you get that weird dialogue where it's, like, so anime-like.
So cringe. Yeah, it's, like, a little cringe.
Everybody walks, like, up, and it's like, hey, and the other person's like, hello, nice to meet you.
And
it's like,
everybody has to say a line. Everybody has to say a line all the time. And, like, that's one of the things that I'm kind of like, oh, man, why are you repeating the same thing? Everybody already said it. Yeah. We already had this conversation. But no,
like, sometimes Noctis and the boys in the car, they just sit in silence.
Just chilling, and they just listen to music. Dude, that's, like, the best part. And I actually, like, I'll give them props. They did try to fix it with the the Royalty Edition or the King Edition, what was it? Something.
Yeah. But I think it was just Royal, which is so strange. It's so similar to P5.
Oh, thing. It's funny. It's funny because whenever Persona 5 came out in Japan, they were freaking out about it. They were thinking that it was gonna be like this like versus kind of situation, and it was funny because I remember actually. Speaking of Square Enix, we can talk about the Nier series too. Have you ever played any of the Nier games?
I haven't played them. I saw somebody watch them. I was gonna play Nier Automata, but I heard about the remake of the first game. I was like, I'll play that first and then jump to
the Automata. Well, I don't know if you have Game Pass, but it's free on Game Pass, and it's patched on the PC.
Oh, dope.
Yeah. So you can check it out. I don't know. I bought Game Pass because to me it's like it's such a good deal at this point. Like I play so many games that like it's just made more sense to get it or not. I don't know. People are like mad about it, but like I'll be honest, I'm playing some games I will never otherwise play. like I'm not into shooters a whole lot, but I played all the Doom games there. Yeah, they are good. Yeah. The music is so fucking good. I was like, I spent just hours and everything. And
have you heard about the thing with like Royal coming to Game Pass? I've seen that
over literally the place. Just made a video about it today. My video released today about it.
I don't know if because I just see people because somebody posted it was supposed to be at the concert and it didn't happen. I'm like, I knew that wasn't gonna happen.
Oh no, that was a really bad leak. The person whoever made that leak, that was like a really really bad one. It was so fucking fake. I don't know how people even believe that. But for real though, here's the deal. And I said this before. Persona is gonna come to Game Pass at some point. The Yakuza series, the entire Yakuza series is already on Game Pass.
It's from zero
to six. Sega made money from that deal with Microsoft. There's no reason for them not to say no. Like it's literally free money. So like, why would they just not take it? Like, you know, like I mean, Sega obviously likes money. They did it with their biggest franchise, Sega and Sega as what is like Yakuza and. The Sony games are like their biggest franchises right now, so.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. And, you know, like we said, it's a corporation at the end of the day, so I think that makes sense as to why they want to do that, which you would assume Atlas, like, because, like, we've all talked about this before, like, putting P4 on console, whatever. I know everybody says port beggars, this, that, or the other, but, like, it makes them so much money. It's like.
Yeah. Forget about the begging. Forget about the port begging or anything like that. It literally just makes sense. Like, how much bank do you want to do? Like, Persona 4 Golden was one of the best-selling games on Steam on 2020. Just put it like that. And it's a fucking. Like, if you want to say it, it's one of those, like, smaller RPGs, like it's not like freaking Final Fantasy, you know, like it's a, at least the difference between Final Fantasy and Persona, you know, it's like a huge difference. So to see it just sell so well on 2020, I'm like, obviously people are interested in your product.
They always make a third party do it anyway, like why can't they?
You know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think they're gonna buy the company. I mean, like, I don't think Microsoft is just like shitting bricks of gold. We just kind of just buy every little company they want to buy or anything like that. And from like an economical standpoint, like Sega Sammy makes just so many other things that Microsoft wouldn't be interested in. Like they make arcades, they make like the pachinko machines, like all this stuff. Like it doesn't really make sense for Microsoft to like go into the business and that.
From what I know, like Microsoft doesn't do a lot for like the anime market.
Yeah, exactly. But at the same time,
why they got Bethesda, you know?
Yeah, like, but at the same time, I'm sure they want to get into the Japanese market. The Xbox sells like shit in Japan. So I'm like, I'm sure like if they get, let's say like if they get Atlas or Sega or somebody or like a Square Enix and they make them, yo, I want you to make me a fucking JRPG that is going to sell. I mean, if you think about it, Square Enix has so many big JRPG series. They have the Dragon Quest series. They have the Final Fantasy series. They have, what else do they have? Oh shit! Kingdom Hearts, obviously.
That did jump to Microsoft.
Yeah, so like, think about it. Like, if they were to go, and I don't think they just have the money to buy Square Enix or Sega, but I'm definitely sure that they're gonna try to get some kind of exclusivity deal, because they're not selling Xboxes on Japan. That's like,
crazy. Yeah, well, it's because Sony has so many exclusives. They have most of the Japanese market, which makes such huge games.
Which is crazy to me too. Like, they just closed PlayStation just closed their Japanese studio. So I don't know what they're gonna do there. I'm like, you need to make some RPGs though, you know, like, I know Persona is there now, but what are you gonna do when Persona starts selling on Switch or on PC? You know, they gotta start putting some money on the, because I don't think it's the biggest market, and truthfully it's not, you know, like, if you see Persona celebrates like a couple million sales, but then like other games like Call of Duty is just sells like billions of dollars per year. You know, it's like it's not even on the same market or anything like that. But definitely, like, I'm sure if they had Persona games exclusive on the Xbox, more than one person will have to go and buy an Xbox. Yeah, not
Demon's and the Yuffie DLC, that's enough to make me want to buy a PS5. Like, I've thought about it here recently, and it's exclusives like that pull in the PS5, which those are both like Japanese developers. It makes sense.
Yeah, it just makes sense. Like, I don't think you're gonna be able to buy Sega or anything. I know the rumors are big right now, but these rumors have been going on for years now. It's not the first time that I heard them, but I do think they are gonna probably come to Game Pass or something. They gotta get some JRPGs.
Yeah, some exclusivity deals. That's how Final Fantasy VII is, right? It's gonna eventually become a PC. We all know that. Mm-hmm. Same thing with 15. Like, people were saying it wasn't ever gonna go. It eventually came to PC later.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah. Did it ever come to Xbox? I don't know. 15? I'll check. It might have, but I don't actually remember.
It wouldn't make sense. If it's on PC, it probably should also be on Xbox. If they didn't, then they must really have some like strong ties to like making sure it doesn't pop up there. Because I know most.
Oh, of no, Final it did. Fantasy... It did. It did. Okay. But later, like way later. Wait.
Yeah, because I think like FF13 is on there too.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah. That makes sense.
But I think it came out later. Oh, it has 15 chapters. Huh. Anyway, I mean, it's cool. I'm still a Final Fantasy fan. Obviously, we have 16 coming up pretty soon,
which also has
an exclusivity deal. So I don't know, man, I'm excited for it. This is literally like, if I were to grab everything from Square Enix that I'm excited about, 16 is like sits right at the top of like everything else.
Definitely. I mean, I'm excited for what Final Fantasy VII Remake's gonna do. Mm-hmm. At least, like, the Yuffie DLC, like, I know the DLCs can be bad, but they still can be great. But, like, from what I hear now, it's like, these are kind of just the things to keep us busy, I feel like, for part two. Yeah, I mean, the phone game being a battle royale, it's like, I don't think I'm gonna play that.
Because they also have this other, what is it? They have another game coming out. They just announced it. It was like Project Atia or something like that. And it was like Foresight or something. Have you seen it?
I don't think so. Forsaken, I think, right?
Forsaken?
Something like that.
I have to check.
Yeah, it was Project Athena was what it was first. Mm-hmm. But
yeah. And then they just made something cool. I don't know. Forspoken. That's what it is. Forspoken.
Forspoken.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
I don't know.
That was a bit
direct. And it's just a PlayStation 5 exclusive, apparently.
Yeah, I could see that. That was done, I think, by a lot of Final Fantasy's team, because it played a lot like Noctis. Now he would move around and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it was just
that's a team that they have built that worked on 15. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
That's why it looks so much like it. Like, I seen them, like, the character put their hand out and do something. I was like, that's exactly how Noctis like,
moves. Yeah. Which is, I'm also excited. Like I said, I'm excited for that. I'm excited for 15. It's just 16. I mean, I think it's a good time to be excited. Casually optimistic for the remake. I'm just optimistic at the remake right now. I'm not like super, super hyped at this point. I'm kind of like, we'll see where we'll go from there.
We also have Kingdom Hearts coming to PC though, but it is an Epic Games exclusive, which is very strange. Seeing as how they have their whole Final Fantasy library, like, pretty much on Steam.
I don't know.
It's definitely like Epic Games giving them some money to make sure Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, of course, yeah. They make more money from like exclusivity deals. And you know, like at this point, let's be honest, the Epic Game Store, or you can say whatever you want to say about it, but it's still selling games. Like people are still buying games. Good. You know, like
the free games on there are good too.
They get great games. Yeah, yeah. I never purchased a game there, but I have so many free games.
That's how I am. Yeah, I don't know. It's nuts how they do that. I'll probably get it on PC through the Epic Game Store. I hate that I'm doing that. Mm-hmm. Borderlands was also locked down there too, and I thought about doing that too. Kingdom Hearts, they could port better than Atlas.
Hold out. They're gonna do a free game. They're gonna do free Borderlands at some point. They did free. Batman, the whole Batman series. They made a whole Batman series free.
Really? At some point. The Borderlands 1 and 2 bundled, or 2 and the pre-sequel bundled together, that Handsome Collection, was free on Epic Games, like very, very early on, whenever they released the DLC, which is interesting.
Oh, okay. Oh, right on. I mean, you know, it's a business. I don't get it. Like, some people got mad about it, but at the same time, like, Steam sometimes... It's not. It might have some deals, but at the same time, it's kind of like you can't have just one launcher doing all these games. You have to have some kind of competition. And again, I'm not saying that I like the Epic Games Store or anything like that, because obviously it just has some shitty, scummy shit behind it and everything.
Yeah, but, and it like pressures you to buy Fortnite so much. I'm like, I don't want it on there. It pressures you so bad. Man,
every time,
I just also feel like Epic Games Store also just flat out... like the UI looks a lot better, I think so too. Because the user interface on the user interface Steam? On Steam kind of looks poopy.
Blue is just so ugly, so old. Like it feels like an early 2000s forum. I don't know.
Yeah, like Gabe Newell needs to figure something out.
Get the shit ready and start making some games again. Half-Life 3.
Yeah, well, he did the whole VR thing, and I think there was a thing from him himself saying something like, this probably isn't going to sell well. It's like, well, come on, Gabe, do something new then.
Yeah, they make some more games. I don't know. I don't think they're worried about it. They made so much money, they don't really care anymore, I think. I feel like that's when companies kind of turn kind of bad. Right. At times when they made so much money, they don't care anymore. Like, I don't know. Epic Games knows they only have so much left with Fortnite. You know, Fortnite is a big thing, or was a big thing a few years ago, but they know that shit is going to be done any day now. They don't have any power or control over it. It's just one of those things. Every few years, there's this one genre that just randomly picks up. Nobody has any control over that. Like, Fortnite was a thing for years, and nobody fucking played that thing.
Yeah, they're like zombie mode or whatever. Yeah. I never touched it ever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I never even heard of it until like picked up or whatever. Well, actually no. One of my friends bought it because he has like a crafting thing where you can like build and everything. And you have like to fight other zombies, and you can play co-op and build and stuff like that. So my friend bought it so we could play that, and then obviously he picked up with all this other shit and everything, and I was like, right, whatever. But you know, I've never been like a huge fan. I just don't like the way the game looks.
Like, I don't like how people build so much. Nobody actually shoots people in the game. The only time they shoot is the direction on top of you. And I played before season one ever existed. Uh-huh. That's when I played it like a little bit. It wasn't a ton, but like it was a cool idea to play a battle royale for like, you know, when it first came out. I think PUBG was huge too. But like,
yeah, I think
it
PUBG
usually was something
like,
that died for me.
Yeah, but you know, at the same time, like I said, like these things you just don't have any control. You don't know when these things are gonna die. Like Among Us or the Fall Guys, like those little party games and everything like that. Any day, and they know it really well. Like, they gotta make every single buck they can, because any second any of these games is gonna be gone. You know, like or it's gonna be like Minecraft. You know, it's like it's not as popular as it was before. People still play it, But like
that game goes up and down every time.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, those will randomly get huge, which is so interesting. Mm-hmm. I think it's when they drop updates, because updates like can change the entire thing that you have. Talking about Battle Royales, we have the Final Fantasy Battle Royale, the mobile thing.
Oh man,
this is a train wreck. I don't know.
I made a pause as soon as I saw it. I was like, oh, Square Enix, how far have you fallen? They used to build trends of, like, you know, the whole JRPG genre was revolutionized by them, and now they are just copying Battle Royale. So like, I was so disappointed. That was like the biggest disappointment. As soon as I saw it, I was like, oh man. And it's a gacha game too. It's both gacha and Battle Royale. It's like the worst of both worlds. Like, they're not even trying to be good at it anymore.
Yeah, they're not. And it's like, I think Donkey made a video on this. I don't know if you watch him. He's pretty big. I don't know if you watch him, but like, he's like, oh, there's a separate DLC that you have to have a PS5 for, which is a few things. Like, yeah, he's like, and then next they're going to say there's a Battle Royale. And it ends up being a Battle Royale at the end of it. I'm like, yo, it's so kind of now too.
It's almost really bad. Like, if you really think about it, it's just bad stuff. I don't know. I'm not a fan of any of this stuff. And I was going to make a video, which we talked about how I thought Square Enix could kind of redeem themselves or whatever. I'm like, in a sense, like, that's the whole thing that baffles me so much. They made good games. They made some really shit, crappy games. And I kind of like, I feel like we could probably wrap this whole podcast here. But the Marvel Avengers, kind of like the one thing that I want to touch on. I don't know if you have anything else to go over, but the whole Marvel Avengers thing is like such a big train wreck that it's just like, every time that I hear about it, it gets progressively worse.
So bad. Hawkeye and the new DLC looks like a random like generated character. It doesn't even look like Hawkeye at all. It's like a dude with a bow, and it's just like
with a random t-shirt, and like, oh man, that looks bad. And I don't know, like, I'm sure it's based on some comic, you know, is there a lot of stuff that they do and everything. But to me, I'm just kind of like, the whole aspect of the game is built on other games. It's like a Destiny hack and slash type thing that they try to do here. Like, it's a life as a service game, obviously, but like, it's just so poorly designed. I don't know. This is kind of like, for me, like, bottom of the barrel Square Enix, like a Square Enix at its worst.
Why did Marvel even pick them? That's what I want to know. You know what I mean? There's gonna be a really good Marvel game that I'd probably
This is my second video in the channel ever. I made a video talking about how Spider-Man kind of like built like this, you know, Marvel Spider-Man was a huge successful game.
Huge.
And it had like a lot of really cool stuff. And in my mind, I was like, Joe, they announced this Square Enix Avengers game, like, that's gonna be connected, and like, because,
yeah,
you know, like,
Insomniac should have done the Avengers game.
Yeah, I just feel like, I don't know. Sure, I get it. You know, they probably didn't want to sign an exclusivity deal with PlayStation for that one, because the Avengers were huge at the time, like, the movies were coming out and everything like that.
I wish it was separate games of each hero, and then boom, the Avengers game.
That's what I thought that was going to happen, because they interviewed one of the Insomniac guys, and it's like, yeah, this Spider-Man game is kind of like the Iron Man of the MCU. And I was like, holy shit, you know, they're making a bunch of... And
It's happening.
And then you get one game, and it's like, it's complete trash, and I'm like, everything about it, from like the story standpoint, to like the gameplay, to like all this... glitches. Did you ever play the game at all, or like, did you
my brother loves it. I've seen it. It looks so good.
Oh man, I played the not the Spider-Man game, the Marvel game.
Oh, the Marvel one. No, I have not played
it. Oh, dude, I played it, and it had so many glitches. Like, that first week I was like, I'm gonna return this game.
I'm getting my money back.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't even want to support this product at all. What the red flag for me was, they had this big announcement, right? They announced the game, they showcased it, and they were like, oh, we're going to do a whole presentation where we're going to talk about it. Cool. I watched the presentation. They start talking about DLC. The game is not even out, and they already had a roadmap for all the DLC for this game. I was like, oh, man, this game is a train wreck. It's not going to work out.
Well, I mean, another IP they got, and I don't know. I don't remember if you said you've played this or not, but, like, the Direct just happened, right? Or I guess, is the Square Enix Direct? I'm calling everything a Direct because that's just how Nintendo says it, but I'm going to call it a Square Enix Direct. I don't know if it's actually called that, but Life is Strange is on there, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's the funny thing about it is Square Enix owns the IP, but they didn't make the game. It was made by Don Knott. So this game is actually not made by them. It's made by another team. And so I'm like, I saw it and I saw the trailer, which I'm excited for it, by the way. I'm a huge Life is Strange fan. Oh, yeah. I'm literally actually streaming Before the Storm. I'm streaming it right now. So to me, I'm like, I enjoy those games. They're like, one of my friends was like, it's a guilty pleasure kind of game. And I get it.
Totally, dude. Totally.
But like, I love the music, although I'll tell you, fucking Square Enix claimed this video. Seven times. Every single song that they play is copyrighted. So
yeah, I got at the end I was showing my because I streamed the Direct. At the end I was playing some songs from Life is Strange. It was getting claimed by other countries, but it never got claimed by America. I was like, how does that happen? It's like I'm streaming this in English. Like, how did that get claimed in Brazil? Yeah, I'm not even speaking
English. I don't know, but it was crazy, man. I was like, I don't know. I like the games though. They're really good. I'm just kind of worried that a different team is working on them. It almost feels like a slap in the face, kind of like, well, fuck you. You know, we'll get somebody else to make another game.
I'm just glad that, like, I mean, Square Enix has IPs that are, like, great. Like I said, like, Life is Strange, such a good IP that they have. It's Don't Nod, I think, is the people who make it. But it's interesting. And there's supposed to be another Direct, I think they said, in June. So this first Direct, really, to me, honestly, was like pretty much the Project Athena thing that became Forspoken or whatever. Yeah. That's there. It's not really Final Fantasy, though, even though it's the same sort of team and engine. Yeah, but I think the stuff in June, I think that's going to be their Final Fantasy whatever
16.
Else.
I think 16, because the Nomura thing, he's just like, oh, we have so much stuff. I was like, oh, man, they're going to make a ton of Final Fantasy stuff. They're going to milk the hell out of 7. They're not done with that. 7 is probably going to announce an anime. You mark my words here. They're going to announce an anime for Final Fantasy 7. if they made an anime for 15...
people would like that, though.
Yeah, no, and I'm not saying it's bad.
Because Advent Children did so well.
They are going to do it. Like, I don't know. If they did it, it's going to sell. Like, I don't know. It's just they have so much money, so much potential for more money, I guess.
They could do it right, and I think people would love it, because Advent Children did so well. If they did another, like, 3D, like, CGI type of thing, because their in-game models look so good. I mean, it's actually a pre-rendered sort of cutscene with, like, the upscaled models. So great.
Yeah,
that's how the Final Fantasy 15 movie was. And I thought the movie was so good.
It was good. Although I hated that it was, like, a separate thing. It should have definitely been in the game. But, it was cool. It was a cool. It looks great. The music was good. Everything about it was like good stuff there. So I don't
know. How they go about it. You know, I'd watch a Final Fantasy VII movie. I think like that. If it wasn't just like, oh, this is a chunk out of the story. Or like if they actually did it in the right way or whatever. But
no, they're probably gonna do it with as a movie. What I would think, and it's kind of just like speculation here, whatever. They're probably gonna make like a prequel movie for Final Fantasy VII. Kind of like setting up characters and other people, maybe like more about like Sephiroth and kind of like all the storylines and everything as a movie kind of thing. I don't think they're gonna make a separate game about it, but that will be a movie kind of thing.
Well, I know that Ever Crisis, the phone game, the other phone game, because there's two, it's like Ever Crisis, I think, is it's supposed to help you with that. It's supposed to explain the story up to where we are now in Final Fantasy VII, like part one or whatever. And I'm not sure, because you said like the multi thing, is it seven remake or is it, you know, the original one? I'm not sure what it's trying to do there.
Oh,
but,
it's the original one, it's not the remake.
It's the same style, and I know that Final Fantasy 15 did this too. It was like the small chibi.
Oh, yeah, they did. It's a pocket edition or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be that, but like the whole Seven storyline, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. I'm not going to play it. I already played the original one. I don't really have any incentive to kind of do it. Although I did get a sponsor, actually, and they offered me to, they have like this emulator for phones on your PC or whatever. And I was like, well, maybe I take that as a sponsor and I like I'll do the thing or whatever. But I'm like thinking about it. I don't know. I haven't felt comfortable with a sponsor yet. I had like offers, but I'm like, I don't know. Like, there's some things that I don't. They're like so far on my channel, and I'm like, I feel like dirty, just kind of like talking around. Like,
as tainted as Square?
Yeah, like I don't know. I don't want to be a shill, kind of just like talk about some random ass product.
I would love to do it if it was like another Kingdom Hearts 2. I would definitely do it for something like that. That's my thing. Like, I know we bash on Square, but at the end of the day, they have done amazing stuff.
Oh, no,
I
no.
totally would 100% like a good thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I'll be excited for some stuff. I just want them to do more consumer-friendly practices, because I know they want to get money, but look, they're going to make money either way. You know, like, I feel like whether they are good or bad with the consumers, they're still going to make money. You know, the games sell a fuck ton of, you know, like, they're a single game that doesn't sell like they do.
And yeah, and like, you talk about that, though, like, one more thing, because I don't know, I think we might be wrapping up soon, but, like, the Final Fantasy XV $100 Steelbook Edition doesn't come with the Season Pass. That's what I bought when I was, like, younger and naive, and I pre-ordered, Final Fantasy XV, like, a year beforehand. I was so disappointed in having, like, a $100 version.
same thing. Not only does he not have the Steelbook, it didn't have anything. Oh. It was just a Steelbook.
You get the movie.
Yeah, you're right. You get the movie. But then the 400 Collector's Edition doesn't come with the DLC either.
That's so dumb.
It comes with a cool ass figure and all this other stuff, but it doesn't come with DLC. Like, that's really weird. I don't know.
How they're doing it now with Final Fantasy VII, so like, they're not even gonna act like there's DLC till you get the game. Then you have to buy the season.
That's what they did with Kingdom Hearts. They didn't tell you anything about DLC. They're just like, yo, so about that DLC, here's DLC if you want to buy it. That's story. That's a progression of the game.
You want to know how stuff actually ends? Well, here's the DLC. I know we didn't tell you about it before, but that's definitely like writing the story as it goes. Like, oh, did that sell well? Okay, well, now we got to add some DLC to that. Yeah, for sure.
But, I don't know. You know, like, I don't know. And I'm definitely like not bashing. I feel like I'm not bashing them hard enough or anything like that. But I'm like, I really love their games. Like, at the end of the day, like, I know in like other podcasts or other times that I talk about them, I'm like, you know, like, I may talk shit about them sometimes, but, like, at the end of the day, like, every single game they release, I'm buying. You know, like, Life is Strange, like, you know, like, Life is Strange, like, the new Final Fantasy game, like, you know, like, the big games that I'm looking at, I'm gonna, at the end of the day, buy them. You know, whenever they make another Dragon Quest game, I'm gonna buy it too. You know, like, I think
because we care so much about it being good, because we've seen it do so good before.
Exactly. Yeah.
And Final Fantasy 16 might be like, it could be like my favorite game of all time for all I know.
Oh, you know, and everything that I've seen about it, and this is like off cuffs gear, I love so far. Like, everything when it comes to like the gameplay, the gameplay kind of reminds me of kind of like a really fast Dark Souls kind of thing. Like, it's flashy and it's like a more fleshed out version of the 15 gameplay. Like, it just feels more fluid and everything. But it feels more methodical too, like a Dark Souls kind of game or like Sekiro, you know. Like,
they're kind of going back to the roots, right? Yeah, they're going back to like D&D-esque kind of, like mythology, I guess you say.
Yeah, like medieval setting, cool. I guess, like Dungeons and Dragons kind of thing, I guess. You know, like, I don't know. It'd be cool to see. I'm curious to see what direction they're gonna take this on. It could easily be a flop too. You know, like, I'm not gonna pretend like. They haven't had some flops because they had. But I'm just curious to see what direction they're going to take. I'm interested. Damn. The characters look cool. Like, the music, the one trailer that we had with the music, I'm like, this is good shit. It's like, good. Yeah, it's good stuff. So
the voice actors seem dope. The animations look cool. Yeah. We're learning about, like, characters, like, the actual characters themselves being, like, summoning creatures that we see in the later parts of the game. So it could easily tie into other games, too, like,
Some of the Final Fantasy and they're doing this whole crystal storyline where there's no crystals and everything. So it's, like, it's a whole thing. Like, I'm really excited for it. It's gonna be interesting to see how they develop this one. I just want to say like kind of final, one final thing, I guess. I don't think it's going to come out anytime soon. And this is easily going to be like a 2023, 2024 game. Like, from what we've seen so far, it's just, I don't know if they're not ready. They changed direction. It could be anything. But the last two Final Fantasy games that I demoed, which was 15 and 13, they had like a whole gameplay and everything. And then the final product is so different from that. So I don't know where it's going, but I don't know. I don't expect it anytime soon. I'm expecting them like a year or two before we actually get kind of like a release date and everything. I don't know.
Who knows? Maybe in June they'll even talk about that. We'll have to see. There might, I guess there could be a follow-up to this, maybe podcast, something like that, the series, depending on how that goes or whatever. So
yeah, we'll definitely talk about it when that happens. I don't know. Could be in June, could be next year, could be in 2 years.
Yeah, who knows?
I don't know. Whenever Square Enix decides to continue with the Final Fantasy franchise, not the Final Fantasy VII franchise.
I guess the Yuffie DLC, but yeah, we'll see.
All right, well, thank you so much for having this discussion here with me. It was fun to have in this. Obviously, this is your first podcast to kind of like... like a double whammy here. We're thank you everybody. Please check out his channel. Obviously, check out my channel if you're watching.
Yeah, check out his well.
And it was fun. Thank you so much for having us here. Again, subscribe, like, all this kind of stuff, and I don't know.
Definitely, guys. Yeah. I mean, I'm the Rising Sun podcast. I guess I'd say that at the beginning. He did the intro, but yeah, definitely sub to both channels. Give us some likes. Who knows? Probably do more of these in the future. But yeah, thank you all so much for watching. See y'all in the next one.
See ya.